Well, whether you're at Gwinnett Church Hamilton Mill or Gwinnett Church Sugar Hill, you can tell that we're doing something a little bit different today. And I want to take just a moment to explain what we're doing. And the reason is because what we're doing today is very important. It's very significant. And I'm excited that you're going to get to hear what we're going to talk about today. To do that, I want to remind you of something we talked about last week. And that was that our hope is, and our belief is that the church should be full of delightful people. We talked about this word delightful last week. What that word means is to be full of light. And we believe that the church should be full of delightful people who have never recovered from the grace of God. And if you've been in church for any length of time, my hope for you and my hope for me is that we would never recover from the grace of God, that we would never get over this fact that God loves us, God has forgiven us, and that we are sons and daughters of the King. I hope we never recover from that, because when our hearts are tender, it allows God to work in our lives through generosity, through service, and allowing his love to flow through you and through me. That's why in the very beginning of our church, we asked one question, and that was, what do we want to be known for? What do we want to be known for as a church? And there are a lot of great answers to that question. But one of the things we discovered in the early days is that many people are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. And as for us, we want to be known for who and what we're for. And that's been our journey for 8 years now, and now two locations. And when people ask me what for Gwinnett means, I'm like, hey, this is cool. We get to discover this together. But one of the things it means is that we want the community to benefit from who and what we are and who and what we do. I believe every community should be better because of the local church. And so one of the ways we do that is in this season. November isn't the time of the year that we only do what we're talking about, but this time of year, we intensify the message of who and what we want to be about throughout the year. We talk about this verse that the Apostle Paul wrote to a young man that he was mentoring, and it's in 1 Timothy, and he says, hey, command those in the church to be rich in good deeds, and we define that in how we give and how we serve and how we love one another. So that's what we've been in the last few weeks, and in our first week together, our teaching pastor, Andy Stanley, really encouraged all of us at all of our locations to give, not to Gwinnett Church, not to our locations, but to give so that we could pass money along to incredible community partners that are doing great things in our community. It's a way for us to tell our community that we're for them by how we are for these community partners. So as we were preparing for this day, we had a great idea. We thought, you know what? We should allow some of the community partners, those locally, to come up and share their story with you. And some of you, you may not be familiar with these organizations. That's one of the reasons I'm so excited about today. The other reason I'm excited about today is that you get to meet some of the leaders of these organizations. And as you do, if you're part of Gwinnett Church in either one of our locations, and you allow all this to happen through your generosity, I just want to let you know, and you're going to get to see that today, that your generosity flows to them in so many ways. So you're going to get to hear today from Kim Phillips. She's with North Gwinnett Cooperative Ministries. Mary Frances Bowley, she's with Wellspring. Eddie Staub is the founder of Eagle Ranch. And then Good Sam Gwinnett is an amazing organization. And Henny Jordan is here to talk about that. So Gwinnett Church, the other thing is you get to see four heroes of mine who are doing great things in your community. So Gwinnett Church, Hamilton Mill, don't leave me hanging. I want you guys there to give a warm, great round of applause. And Gwinnett Church, Sugar Hill, you do the same to these four wonderful people. Y'all come on up to the stage. So glad y'all are here, and we're going to have a little bit of a time of conversation. And again, the goal of today is for you to get to know these organizations and these leaders. So I'm going to ask them a couple of questions. And as you do, one of the things I want you to hear about or to learn is a little bit more about our community. Because from Henny to Eddie to Mary Frances to Kim, these organizations are trying to solve some specific problems in the communities that you and I live. So, Kim, let's start first with you. Tell us about you and how you got involved with North Gwinnett Co-op.
Well, thank you for having us here. We appreciate the opportunity. I've been with the co-op for a little over 6 years now. I've been in nonprofit life for a little over 25. But was actually interviewing for a major nonprofit in Atlanta. when this opportunity came up, and just my kids were getting ready to start middle school and kindergarten, and I just didn't want to be spending hours of my life in my car trying to get to and from Atlanta. And so I knew that the pay would be different and stuff, so I went to the interview, and sent my resume on a Sunday, interviewed on Monday, and took the job on Wednesday. So it was a little bit of a whirlwind.
You were very impressive in the interview, apparently, so that's great.
And it's just, we've been kind of, I didn't know what I was getting into. I've never done food pantry work before. But I knew I had a heart for people and serving people, and just really it was an opportunity to kind of say, okay, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I need you to help me. And then I started and almost quit my first day. because some of the verbiage that was there before me was that you had to be a legal citizen to be served. And I just went to my board of directors and said, basically, my Bible doesn't have any small print. It just says feed people. And I can't do that. I can't turn people away that are hungry. And I'm a very generous board. I have a very generous board of directors that said, change the sign. And we did. And so we had to spend a good year in the community letting people know that they could come. And then working kind of boots on the ground, going into communities that needed us. And then also at the same time, in educating our schools about what we do and building our relationships with the schools, and then community partners, giving people the opportunity to be the hands and feet, to be, help me do what we do. We have three additional wonderful staff people, but you can't serve 17,000 people a year with four people. And so we depend on people to be there every day to help us do what we do. And so it wasn't my plan to be there, that's for sure. But we have worked really hard. We just opened our expanded facility, and we are serving people food now once a month. In addition to that, we do utility assistance. We help with medication. That is a big component for our seniors. We have a very extensive aging population, and our seniors, the Social Security is not keeping up with the cost of living and health care. And we have seniors every day making a decision, do we eat or do we take our medicine? And so by us helping in both of those avenues, we're trying to remove those barriers for our families. And so we do a lot of other things, but that's just the overview, the big picture kind of thing. And we just can't thank y'all enough for helping us do what we do.
And North Gwinnett Co-op, I think it's a reminder for all of us that hunger is a real issue in Gwinnett County. And we might think, you know, we've got all these restaurants, but hunger is a real issue. And so this is a really big deal that people don't have money to pay for food. And so and one of the great things that this organization does is to meet families in need in a variety of different ways. We'll talk about a couple more. Mary Frances, Wellspring Living, another phenomenal organization. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved and what is the problem that Wellspring is trying to solve.
So almost 20 years ago, I and a group of other women became very aware of marginalized women. And once we realized that everybody didn't have the same opportunities we did, we felt like we needed to do something. And so we opened our first home for young women, and the very first woman that walked through our doors was a traffic survivor. But in 2001, no one was really talking about trafficking. So we learned a lot about how we needed to serve. And I think the thing that was shocking to me is that our Metro Atlanta has 100 children under the age of 16 who will be bought and sold every night in our city. It's just hard for me to wrap my head around it. I think the thing that was amazing is, so this young woman was 20 years old, but it happened when she was a teenager. And so we serve youth as well as women and children, helping them to really find their courage and their confidence again by giving them comprehensive care with an individual focus. I mean, I think about our songs that we sang this morning. It was all about really God's called us to love. And what does that look like? It means we're going to meet their needs, but we're going to see them as people. And they're some of the most resilient and amazing people I've ever met. And it's our joy to watch what God can do. When you talk about the reckless love of God, we've seen it happen for people who didn't have a prayer, and God has met their needs. And it's remarkable. It's remarkable how much God loves and how much God can love through us. I mean, I was a kindergarten teacher, not a nonprofit leader. I didn't know a thing, kind of like him. Didn't know what I was getting into. Probably a very good thing, by the way. But man, has it changed not just the opportunity, changed the lives of our staff and the women and the girls and the youth that we have to serve, but it's changed us. And that's why it's exciting that we can partner together, because when we partner together, God does amazing things.
Mm-hmm. And I want you to look at this from the perspective of the heart of your Heavenly Father. He doesn't want his children to go hungry, and he certainly doesn't want his daughters being trafficked and sold and sons. And so it's a real issue. And it's easy to think, Mary Frances, that this is an issue on the other side of the world. But I'm it's important that you shared that statistic. Yeah. Can you repeat that again? Because yeah. It's easy to go, that can't be possible.
Well, in the United States, there'll be 300,000 children who will go into the dark world of trafficking this year. And they're domestic. We're not talking about people coming from other places. And then in our own community, 100 children under the age of 16 will be bought and sold. And so that's just not right. It is not God's way. And so we have the opportunity to show them a different way. And I think that, you know, the participants we see have seen the worst of humanity. Mm-hmm. And it's our job to show them the best.
So when you hear give, serve, love, when you hear be rich in good deeds, when you hear for Gwinnett, this is what that looks like in so many respects. So thank you for sharing. Eddie Staub, Eagle Ranch. Good to see you, Eddie. Eddie and I go way back. Eddie is a graduate of the University of Auburn. I'm a graduate of the University of Georgia. There's no reason why I'm saying that right now. And I just want to hand the baton over to Eddie because I love him dearly.
Well, if... as if saying that in the first service wasn't enough. And so it continues. Before I say a couple of things, I want to compliment you, Jeff, on your incredible leadership here. Mm-hmm. And and advocacy for groups like ours just doesn't happen without great leadership. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Just
to give you a little background from where I've come from, I grew up in a stable, idyllic childhood outside Birmingham. And I said, everybody lives like this. Or at the very least, my life was the rule and not the exception. And I went to Auburn and got involved in the Big Brother program and came to realize that my life was the exception and that the only reason I had what I had was because of the grace of God. And that went to a very deep place in me such that I knew that my life had to be about helping children that didn't have the opportunities I did. So in 1982, I felt like God was calling me to start a children's home. Didn't want to leave my home state. So I went up to Huntsville, down to Mobile, trying to find where this Eagle Ranch needed to be. And there wasn't a need there, but somehow I found out there wasn't anything for struggling children and families northeast of Atlanta. So July 9th of 1982, I came here. And that was 37 years ago. And today we can take care of 42 boys, 24 girls, and we've had probably about 2,000 children that have come through, and we do counseling with their families, and our goal is family restoration and reunification. That's what we're about. But the thing I want to share with you is our why. You know, why do we do what we do? And that's as true for us as it is for you. You know, because everything comes out of our why. Our values, our priorities, and I just want to share with you our why, because that's our heart at Eagle Ranch. The first part of our why is that Eagle Ranch would be a tangible expression of God's goodness and power in this world. That when people see what happens at Eagle Ranch, they go, God is at work. That the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like Paul said ahead of him, he is here. And that he would grant us spiritual eyes and ears to see that he is here and he wants to do great things through his people. And so that's the first part of our why, that a watching world would see that God's at work. The second is that we would be the hands and feet of Jesus to hurting children. And if the average age of a child coming to Eagle Ranch is about 13, and life is like a story, the first 13 pages of their story have been difficult at best for many, tragic, sort of Mary Frances like you're talking about. And the danger becomes when those first 13 pages of their story become predictive of the way the rest of their story is going to go for them. It's like they go, I know how this is going to end because the first 13 pages were so bad. And we have the great privilege to be able to step into these children's lives and tell them that verse, share that verse from Jeremiah. It says, I know the plans I have for you, little boy or little girl. Plans to prosper you and to give you a future and a hope. And our prayer is that they will believe that as truth, just like who we work with, that they will believe the truth of that, that God goes to all people and says, there's greatness in you. That there's more. You know, he did that in the fringes of society when people didn't think they had anything going for them. And Jesus called out something great in them. There's more for you. And then he goes to Nicodemus, who apparently, by all the world standards, had it all together. And he said, Nicodemus, there's more for you. And so that's our hope for the children of Eagle Ranch, is in the families, that they will see, as Paul said in his singing, that there's more. Our true identity is that we're beloved of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to communicate to these boys and girls. After the first service, I had a young man who grew up at the ranch mm-hmm. come up to me, and he's doing so well now. And when he came, that wasn't his identity. Mm-hmm. And now it appears to be that this is a new day for him. Mm-hmm. So that's who we are. That's our heart. The only thing on the horizon, and it's a big deal for us, in this area, there's a real lack of mental health services. So our board decided to move ahead with what we're going to call the Wing Center, which is going to provide outpatient Christian counseling and space for marriage retreats and parenting retreats and also soul care for ministry leaders. And that's hopefully going to get started in a couple of years. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
One of the many amazing stories that Eagle Ranch has impacted me is, if you know the story of Eagle Ranch, you know the story of Eddie. He was at a McDonald's. He was writing, I don't know why he wasn't at a Chick-fil-A, but he was at a McDonald's. And he wrote down the statement, attempt something so great for God that is doomed to fail unless God is in it. That statement is actually downstairs in a room that I walk by and see. And as a church, we need to attempt something in person. We need to attempt things so big that it is doomed to fail unless God shows up. And that's what each four of these organizations are doing. Henny Jordan, Good Sam Gwinnett, phenomenal, providing medical services to people that can't afford it. So for those that aren't familiar, Henny, tell us about Good Sam.
Sure. So Good Samaritan Health Center of Gwinnett, and shortly we're just going to call it Good Sam Gwinnett, is a charitable Christian nonprofit clinic actually clinics now that provide medical, dental, pharmacy, and counseling services for the poor, low-income, and the uninsured population. It's an incredible story. We are 14 years old now, and it actually started by a group of volunteer physicians who decided to put together a health fair. I don't know if you know that, but a lot of the people who cannot afford to go to a doctor on a regular basis, they will hop from health fair to health fair to health fairs because they are for free. And that's how they try to find out how are they doing. It is not really an adequate way to maintain your primary care physician or nurses. So they were stunned to find just how many people do not have insurance. So they decided to open a Good Samaritan Health Center. And first, our first location was on Club Drive, and we did a monthly drive for our patients, and we realized quickly just what we have on their hands when the line just to sign up was wrapping around our building. And in that particular location, we had only about 14 parking spaces. And Greg Lang, who is our current executive director and has been the past 8 years, who have just driven an incredible leadership for the organization and make it successful, he was actually a volunteer in the beginning trying to fit as many cars in as many ways as possible and control the traffic. So that just drove our growth. We never had to make an ad. Of course, we were so blessed that people who needed our help have found us. So then came the recession a little bit. At the time, we were very heavily relying on donations, and so we had to close our doors for about 2 months. Then we said, okay, we're going to have to rethink what we do because this mission cannot end. Like you mentioned before, you want your community rally for you and say, I need you in the community. Right. If you are a church who's doing incredible things like you do, we need you in the community. Specifically us who are religious-based nonprofit organizations, because for us, government funds and grants are not available. So we are very heavily relying on our community, specifically church partnerships, like we have had with Gwinnett Church for a couple of years now, for which we are so grateful. So thank you so much for your support. As of today, we have 2 clinics. We have 46 employees. And after 2-3 years of double-digit growth, we this year probably going to end up having 36,000 appointments with the 2 locations. That's how many people are out there, and there's more who may not be able to get to us. Many of our clients have transportation issues. It's interesting because if you look at the calendar, the first 2 weeks we are very busy. And then towards the end of the month, we are slowing down because that's when bills are due, right? So what's going to be important for us? Is that going to be my health care, my A1C blood work for if I'm diabetic? Or am I going to have to keep the roof above my head, feed my children, send them to school? So decisions are very hard for some of these families. And some of these individuals who come to us may not even have a home. We actually can tell when our patients will come in and we know that they actually live out of their car, if they have a car. So they eat in the car, they bathe in the car, you name it. And we are their only safety net here in Gwinnett County. You have been so generous with us in years past. You have helped us grow. Currently, out of the 2 clinics, we are serving our patients that are representing at this time about 64 different countries. 64 different countries. And because we are not a federally qualified health center, we're not supported by government, we are now able to say who we are serving, who we can serve, what are the qualifications for you to be a patient with us. And we decided that unlike most all or most mostly all other charitable clinics who have minimum income requirement or maximum income requirement, we're going to have to go away with that. We are not making any special hoopla's for our patients to qualify for our services. The only requirement we have is that you don't have insurance, and that includes Medicare and Medicaid as well. And that is a very important service in the community, because actually, like they say, it takes a village to raise children and also take care of those who are otherwise unable to take care of themselves. There are probably a lot of patients that we have who's touched by North Gwinnett Co-op, who's probably touched by Eddie's work at Eagle Ranch, or probably supported by Well Springs. And I am so grateful that you are finding different nonprofit organizations whom you support, because I think that's what most of our donors expect from us. They don't really want to see nonprofits in silos, five different home shelters opening up. They want to see, what are you doing with our dollars that are different what my next charity is doing? So that network, in essence, becomes extremely important amongst all of us, so we really can do all that good work. Yeah. And the only one more thing that we do that our community is not necessarily aware of, but I think it's very important, we actually partner with healthcare institutions like PCOM Georgia, Mercer University, University of North Georgia, and we provide clinical rotation opportunities for the students. Oftentimes, they come back once they graduated and volunteer with us, and it is not unusual that it's actually going to end up working with us, and they are now actually training the next generation of healthcare students at Good Sam Gwinnett, and that is one way we can give back to our community in addition to what we do.
That's awesome, Henny. And as you can see, there is, as Henny said, there is crossover. There's also some specific problems and challenges that each one of these organizations are trying to solve in our community. So when we started the church, we could have gone in one of two directions. We could try to, you know, create a lot of other ministries, or we could say, you know what, we're not the experts in this. What if we just fund and fuel the experts and just let them grow and let them do what they do so well? So what I wanted you to hear in our closing minutes is how specifically you have helped each one of these organizations. So Kim, let's start with you. How has Gwinnett Church helped fuel and fund and served North Gwinnett Co-op?
Well, one of the things that I love about Gwinnett Church is when you call up, it is, what can we do to help you? Where a lot of phone calls I get are, we want to do A, B, and C, and you need to make that happen. And what, you know, that's more self-serving than serving. And so I just thank you for that, because that's more impactful to my ministry. But the church has helped us in a lot of ways financially. You've come alongside us, and it helped us with operations. The gift last year helped us finish our expansion, and so we were able to open our new facility this October. And our lobby is now for Gwinnett there. So we're really appreciate that. But just as important are the people. With, like I said, you can't serve the number of people that we do with four people. And we need the hands and feet. We need people in there willing to sweat a little bit sometimes, moving boxes or food and heavy boxes of canned goods. And so we rely on you guys to help us do that. And it's kind of not just this time of year, like Jeff said, but it's all year. Summer is a critical time for us. The kids are hungrier than ever in the summer, and y'all help us during the summer. You especially help us with our book bags, and we also use your facilities for our book bag bash, where we gave away over 900 book bags, almost 900 book bags this summer alone. We have, you know, we do the meal boxes, and right now our transit kids are sponsoring, I think it's 63 of my middle school kids on my list. And I know a lot of you have signed up to sponsor people for Christmas, and I appreciate that. We have about 400 kids on our list to be sponsored right now and about 150 seniors. And I am typing as fast as I can. So if I haven't got to you, I'm getting to you. Check your email. There were some late night emails going out last night. It's all year. As nonprofits, we see kind of people come out of the woodwork during the holidays. And, you know, for me, I'm not really shy about saying, I really love having you here right now, but I need to see you and your face in June and July, because that's my hard time. And so I just appreciate that the church is alongside of us throughout the year. I appreciate it.
One of the many wonderful things North Gwinnett does, and Mary Frances and Eddie and Henny do as well, when you serve someone, you don't want to serve them and take away their dignity. This is really important. So we just don't give book bags out. What they do is they throw a party, and so the parents are heroes bringing their kids to a party that, oh, by the way, you get a book bag for your school year as well. That's a really important mindset that Kim and the team have done really well at North Gwinnett. Mary Frances, how has Gwinnett Church helped you all?
In so many ways. Number one, you've been so generous over the years to help us build capacity. And right now, we're about to face another capacity building opportunity. We were just asked a month ago to open the first receiving center for youth for the state of Georgia, which means that this year, beginning hopefully in February, we'll be serving 80 youth. From the minute they're identified, they can come into this care. We're coordinating with DFACS, DJJ, other nonprofits who are experts to make sure that there's only one medical exam, one forensic interview, all of that thing. So we really need your help to grow again. But beyond that, what your volunteering does for us, these precious women and youth get to see people care for them. They may have never had anybody really care. You create an environment where our women love to be in. They're worshiping with you. That's good. You come in and you do Christmas dinner. It's a hard time of the year to be away from family, but you make it so special. You come on our campuses and you refurbish our rooms and you help with landscape. You care. And I think that's the most important thing that I can say about Gwinnett Church and our relationship with you, is because you show them that you care and you are for them. It gives them that inner strength to go through the struggle, which is hard, to see life change, but you give them that encouragement. And so thank you so much for being such an encouragement to all of us.
That's so good. And Mary Frances is serving people who don't feel like God loves them because they don't feel like they're lovable because of what someone has done to them. So again, part of today is whenever you hear give, serve, love, and you hear for Gwinnett, I want you to hear these stories and see these faces. Eddie, how has Gwinnett Church helped Eagle Ranch?
Volunteer-wise, we have a number of people from this church who pray for us. You know, what we do is a spiritual work, just like all of us up here, and prayer is our most important resource. So that's number one. And then we have folks that cook meals for the homes. Matter of fact, before the first service, a couple came up who was, I think every month does a meal for our little boys' home, you know, seven little boys in there. So it's like manna from heaven, you know, when those meals come in. And we have people to do landscaping. But I would concur with what Kim said about the way y'all go about asking Jeff is like, what can we do to help you? And our first grant was in 2013, and it was to help fund our Wings Initiative, where we help other people do what we do around the country, and that was a need we had. And then you help build infrastructure for really key positions that allow us to get a bridge to where we can afford to carry that forward, and that's hard money to come by. And then renovating homes at the ranch, children's homes, we take good care of them, but you have hundreds of kids go through there. And the one most recently you've done is the oldest home we had at the ranch. It's 35 years old and has never been renovated upstairs in the boys' rooms, and y'all are doing that. So, the ranch exists because a community of people have embraced what we do, and this church is very much a part of our community. So thank you.
That's great, Eddie. Eagle Ranch started as a boys' home, then they added girls' homes, and Eddie wisely put a big divide between the boys' and the girls' homes. So that's really smart, Eddie. Henny, how has Gwinnett Church helped Good Sam?
Yes, so many different ways. First of all, thank you so much for your prayers. I just received a visitor last week, actually, from Gwinnett Church, and she came at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I asked her, how long do you have? And she said, as long as you need me. Mm-hmm. So after an hour and a half, we said our goodbyes, and I will probably see her again sometime soon, hopefully. But besides the prayers, which we very much appreciate, every morning we have devotional before we start our day. You are more than welcome to come and help us lead a devotional for us. And every Friday morning from 7:30 to 7:45, yes, we start early, but it's better for traffic. For most of us, we actually meet with our patients in the lobby, and if they feel like they need prayers, we will meet with them. We are very blessed because we were able to purchase our second location, which used to be a lease until April of next year. In fact, that's our campaign 2020 mission as of right now. We will probably need some helping hands in the move, from moving from a second floor with one elevator location to our new home that will be only half a mile away. And most importantly, right now, we currently have 10 dental chairs between our two locations. And with the new location that we have already purchased and undergoing under a very heavy facelift, we are going to add two additional dental chairs. Now, not only that, it's quite expensive, about $80,000 to add just one dental chair to a dental practice, and that is why we are actually Gwinnett County's only full-time charitable dental clinic. So you're talking about 900,000 people just in Gwinnett County alone, and we're the only full-time charitable dental clinic here. The other one is all the way in downtown Atlanta, who has a 2-year waiting list, and even us, we currently have a 10-week waiting list. And one of the reasons is because we have chairs, but we do not have enough dentist volunteers. So if anybody here or in Hamilton Mill area is a dental hygienist or a dentist and have a couple of days a month or just 1 or 2 days in a month to come and volunteer with us, we would be ever so grateful for that. It really, truly would help the community, because just one dental chair can serve 1,200 people. 1,200 patients in 1 year. Mm-hmm. And if you do not know that yet, the number one inappropriate usage of the emergency room is toothache. But unfortunately, there's nothing they can do about that, right? They give you some pain medication and out you go. But doesn't really solve the issue. So we would appreciate your help with that, and thank you for all that you do. Thank you, because without you, we would not be able to keep our doors open, because every single patient who walks in that door is automatically an expense to us. The patient fees only cover about 60% of our operating budget, so 40% come from very generous donors like you and church partnerships like what we have with Gwinnett Church and the Be Rich campaign. So thank you for blessing us tremendously.
And when you hear Be Rich and when you hear For Gwinnett from now on, as I mentioned earlier, one of the things I want you to think of are these four wonderful people and the four wonderful organizations. And these are not the only organizations that we support. There are other organizations locally, domestically, and internationally. And again, the reason, the banner of why are we doing this? We're not doing this to show other people how good we are. We're doing this to show people how great Jesus is. And if our good works can shine a light on Jesus and our Heavenly Father,
That's why we're here, and that's what you're a part of. So today, here's how I'd like to close. On the way out, you're going to get this card, and this card is opportunities for you to serve these organizations. Last week, we mentioned this, that you can text GCSERVE to 555-888, and you're going to get a list of opportunities about how you can serve these organizations. Then, on the back, there are some ways that you can love our community with some specific ways that you'll see on this card. But what I would love to do right now is, can I pray for us, and then we'll close, and I'm going to pray for these wonderful people, and then we'll let you go. God, thank you. Thank you for Kim. Thank you for what you're doing at North Gwinnett Co-op, and I pray that you would continue to fund and fuel your work through them, and I pray that she would continue to be encouraged by what we're trying to do to support her. God, thank you for Mary Frances. Thank you for the team at Wellspring. Thank you for the current opportunity that you've given them, and I pray that you would continue to give them resources after resources and wisdom upon wisdom to continue to do and to bring your sons and daughters out of human trafficking and into freedom. And so we pray that. God, thank you for Eddie and for his faithfulness and for the incredible story of Eagle Ranch. And I pray that we would be, as a church, continue to bless them and support them like we have North Gwinnett, like we have Mary Frances. And God, thanks for Henny. Thank you for the incredible team of medical professionals who serve people in need with high dignity and high honor, but with wisdom and talent that you've given them as medical professionals. So thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to fund and fuel their ministry. And I just pray that we would continue to be a church that does that and lets them know that we are for them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, Gwinnett Church, thanks for being here today. Before you go, can we give a round of applause to these folks? Thank y'all. We'll see you next Sunday.